Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, January 3rd. I'm Abby Larico. This month, one of the biggest advocates for St. Louis's growth moves to Columbus, Ohio. But that doesn't mean outgoing Greater St. Louis Inc. CEO Jason Hall thinks St. Louis is in a bad position.
We're just at a level of civic engagement in this community that I have never seen in my lifetime. People are motivated. They have purpose in this work.
St. Louis Public Radio's Eric Schmid sat down with Hall to talk about his transition to Ohio and his economic development career in St. Louis and Missouri. Hear that conversation after this news on The Gateway. Forecasters expect a potential winter storm could impact St. Louis this weekend. As St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis reports, state agencies say they're preparing for the storm surge and urging people not to travel unless absolutely necessary.
The National Weather Service predicts hazardous winter weather conditions between late Saturday and early Monday. The St. Louis region could see a mix of freezing rain, sleet, or snow, while areas north of the region could see several inches of snow. Areas south could see more freezing rain. State organizations have already started preparing for the potential storm. Darren Hamelink is state maintenance director for MoDOT. He says it's best for people to stay home, but if they have to leave, they need to take precautions.
If you have to be out, try to stick to the major routes as much as possible. But with some of these accumulations that they're anticipating, really your best bet is to stay home if you can.
Hamelink says it's still too early to determine how much snow or ice is expected. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
More than 500 gunshots marked the final night of 2024 and the first few hours of the new year, according to data from the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department. From 6 p.m. on December 31st through 2 a.m. January 1st, the department received 532 calls for shots fired or activations of the ShotSpotter system. It's the highest number of gunshots on New Year's Eve since 2022. SLMPD tracks the totals as part of an effort to stop the dangerous celebratory gunfire on the holiday. 167 of those shots came between 11 p.m. on New Year's Eve and 1 a.m. on New Year's Day. Officers arrested two people believed to be firing off a weapon from a backyard in Mount Pleasant Tuesday night, recovering 125 spent cartridge casings from that scene. An appeals court says that Governor Mike Parson has the power to appoint Wesley Bell's successor as St. Louis County prosecuting attorney. Bell is slated to resign before being sworn in today as a member of Congress. Parson and St. Louis County Executive Sam Page have been in court to determine who can pick his replacement. The Missouri Court of Appeals sided with Parson, writing that a prosecutor is not a county officer and therefore the governor can appoint Bell's replacement. A spokesman for Page says St. Louis County will appeal to the Supreme Court. Parson picked Melissa Price Smith to succeed Bell. A spokesman for the prosecuting attorney's office says Smith will be sworn in at 11 a.m. today. Three seats are up for grabs in April for the St. Louis Public Schools Board of Education, and 12 people are running to fill them. St. Louis Public Radio's Hiba Ahmed reports.
Though school board elections are still 4 months away, 12 candidates have already begun to make their case for why they should lead St. Louis Public Schools. Current President Toni Cousins will fight to maintain her seat on the board, while Vice President Matt Davis announced he will not seek re-election. Board member Natalie Vowell also announced she will not run again. Among the candidates are former school board members Bill Monroe and David Jackson, who have both called for school closures. Karen Collins Adams, who currently heads the Rising Teachers Program at St. Louis University and is married to former longtime SLPS Superintendent Calvin Adams, is also running. The new board members will inherit a troubled school district that faces a $35 million deficit and pending school closures due to low student enrollment. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
The project to consolidate Lambert Airport's two terminals into a single one reached a new milestone this week now that an architecture firm has been selected. St. Louis-based HOK will lead the design of the new single terminal. Rhonda Hamnabrigi is Lambert's director. She says it was a tough decision to pick one group out of those that submitted proposals because many had high-quality plans.
You look at a lot of different things. It's, you know, airports that they've worked on in the past that are of the same type of magnitude. It's their overall team that they've put together. It's their design concept.
Hamne Brighi says HOK and the airport now have to negotiate a contract before the design process starts. She says that will take another 18 months before construction on the new terminal will begin. The city of St. Louis is working to comply with a new federal rule requiring all lead pipes be replaced. Thousands of St. Louisans with service lines on their properties that might be lead have gotten notices in the mail with a request to share their findings. The notices come with instructions on how to identify a lead service line, which can cost up to $10,000 to replace. The city is working on determining a total cost to comply and a plan to get it done. People can make sure their water is safe to drink even if they have lead pipes. City Water Commissioner Neeraj Patel says to run cold water through the pipes anytime the tap's gone unused for a few hours or more.
That is a precautionary measure, right, that we're telling people that they do. Our compliance testing to monitor for the potential for lead contamination, you know, shows that we have very, very low levels of lead in the water.
Residents who've received notices of the survey are asked to fill it out promptly. It'll help the whole process flow more smoothly. A month ago, the St. Louis region's business community learned one of its most vocal boosters would soon be leaving. Jason Hall, Greater St. Louis Inc.'s CEO, will be the Columbus Partnership's next CEO, a role he officially starts in 10 days. St. Louis Public Radio's Eric Schmid sat down with Hall to discuss his career, what he sees for this region, and why he's headed to Ohio.
Columbus is one of the markets that I studied most intensively as a model of regional collaboration and regional economic development for what we could do here in St. Louis. And when they called early in the fall and asked if I would have that conversation, you know, I sort of had this moment that I need to engage in this dialogue and hear more. You know, I hadn't returned a call like that in almost 10 years.
I think about how you've spent, you know, most of your career in St. Louis or Missouri, and how it might be a little bit bittersweet to leave that behind. What are you thinking or feeling about actually leaving?
It is hard. You know, when you have so many memories of a place and friendships and mentors and all of that, that's real. That's human. But on the flip side, I love people. I love bringing interesting networks together. And I'm already starting to get that energy in Columbus.
Thinking more about your time at Greater St. Louis Inc., what are you most proud of accomplishing there?
There are so many things, but maybe bigger arc, the fact that we unified these groups in a real way. You know, at the time, people said, that can't happen. Sure, we worked 7 days a week, 14 hours a day, and didn't take a day off, but we did get it done. And we've built something people are proud of and that they feel. And I'll tell you, that has hit me hard. When this announcement came out, the messages that have come in from community stakeholders, investors, and partners, you realize people truly appreciate the leadership and they appreciate the work.
What's something that you wish you could have done or had the time to see through here now that you're going to be going to Columbus?
Downtown becomes the big issue. It's really thorny. It's capital intensive and requires a lot of behavioral change in St. Louis. And I have seen, particularly over this past year, a mind shift change. Maybe some of that happened when the Wall Street Journal article gave us a wake-up call as a region. That's okay. Let's acknowledge that. Sometimes you need to look in the mirror in a unique way to realize how serious it is. The second one is where we can go from a city-county integration, whatever that might look like. I think it's a serious conversation we're going to need to have as a region here going into the end of this decade. Yeah.
So those are things that where you're kind of like, ah, wish I could be around to
yeah,
be involved.
But I'm going to be cheering for people's success. I mean, we're just at a level of civic engagement in this community that I have never seen in my lifetime. People are motivated. They have purpose in this work. If you would have told me 4 or 5 years ago, we would be sitting here today, St. Louis would be a top five market for job growth for the first time since 1990, 16th fastest growing GDP, I would have said, no way. No way would it be that much success. That's a trajectory. But now we've got to hold that. That's really the challenge for this region. We've got to continue to stay the course and embrace this collaborative and inclusive spirit.
What might be holding us back from being able to achieve that vision fully?
If you look at the arc of St. Louis compared to fast-growing peers in the Midwest, like a Nashville or an Indy or a Columbus, they've had decades of continuous civic leadership without major disruptions. And if you look at the civic history here in St. Louis, we've had higher peaks and valleys, periods of intensive engagement, and then periods of disengagement. I think the key is going to be keeping the resolve. This is a long-term game. Long-term cannot be an excuse for not taking immediate action today. If St. Louis can get that right, no question that it wins the decade.
That was St. Louis Public Radio's Eric Schmid speaking with Jason Hall, the outgoing CEO of Greater St. Louis, Inc. Our Brian Moline edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Theme music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. Stay warm and please be careful out there this weekend. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.